Welcome to the program, Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, with Father Kenese Cartmell. And now, Father Cartmell.
Good evening. Thank you for letting me come into your homes again. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time tonight, I'd like to just give you a brief recap of what we spoke about yesterday on this Eternal Word Network presentation. We've been talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially regarding this great person and his seven gifts. And while there are many gifts, we are limiting ourselves primarily to the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, courage, counsel, piety, and fear of the Lord. We spoke about how the Holy Spirit comes to us and wants to be operative in our daily lives. But it's you and I who turn the switch. When we call upon him, whatever phrase we use, whatever prayer we think of, my own has always been, Holy Spirit, help me to use your seven gifts. We spoke about the gift of wisdom. That wisdom is the gift that makes us able to do the right thing at the right time to the right person, whether that person is God, my neighbor, or myself. Tonight, we like to speak about how we use this gift of wisdom so that we do the right thing for ourselves. There are many ways in which we can do the right thing. But the very first step we have to take, square one, some people call it, is to realize that the first step has to be taken every day, at the beginning of every day. This process is a daily process. Like, for example, I learned it the hard way. I mentioned yesterday that I was on Guam for 21 years as a foreign missionary. When I first went out there, I was a regular hotshot, you know, moving around, building churches, building schools. And then one day, May the 9th, 1959, as I was doing some construction work with the electrical wire, I got hit with 13,800 volts of electricity. And by all the rules of the book, I should be dead. And that night, as I was laying in bed, totally dehydrated, an old missionary, Capuchin missionary, who had spent 4 years in a prison camp in Japan, came to visit me. He didn't come with sympathy, nor did he come with a joke. He looked down at me in bed, and I had the hole in my hand where the electricity went in, the hole in my foot where it had gone out, and he said words I've never forgotten. He said, Kenese, you are living on borrowed time. Use your time well, because for you, there may never be a tomorrow. Now, that might sound a little bit morbid, but it's not, when you really put it in perspective. That God gives you and me every day to refashion, to remold our lives. And if you and I will do that, letting the Holy Spirit operate in us with the gift of wisdom, if we take the ribbon off this magnificent gift, take the wrapping off and say, Holy Spirit, help me to do the right thing for myself today. You know, a lot of us make some great mistakes. And some of the greatest mistakes that we make is that we live in the past. And we think and fantasize about the future. And we miss the beauty and the magnificence of the day. And if you and I are going to use this gift of wisdom, we must use it today. That's all I have. Whatever I've done yesterday, the last 56 years of my life, it's in the cemetery of yesterday. I might visit the cemetery, but I'm not going to dig up the grave and examine the bones of the mistakes of yesterday. I have today. And how do I operate today? What am I going to do today that will be the right thing for God, for my neighbor, and for myself? So let's take it one day at a time. You know, of all the programs that have been devised by man, I think one of the finest is the program called Alcoholics Anonymous. Because they go around saying one day at a time. You know why it's a magnificent program? Because the alcoholics use it, the gamblers use it, the people with emotional problems use it. You've got GA, you've got AA, you've got EA, you've got Drug Anonymous. Because they live their whole lives one day at a time. And if you and I are going to use this gift of God's wisdom, for the Holy Spirit operates in us one day at a time, we'll have a lock on life. Now, the other thing I want to bring out is this. It's a way of looking at life. About 5-6 years ago, I was giving a parish renewal in Virginia. And Virginia in the spring is magnificent. The magnolia trees are out. And it was in the Shenandoah Valley. And that is my custom. I like to drive. That's my recreation. And I have a cassette where I play the Bible. And as I was driving early in the morning, as the sun was coming over the mountains, along the river, I heard the words of Christ where he said, from the beginning of creation until now. And at that moment, where I was all alone in the world, I realized for the first time what it really meant to take one day at a time. Because I realized that today is the beginning of creation for me. Today is the beginning of creation for you. God didn't just create, and it's all finished. He is continually creating. He's continually redeeming. He's continually sanctifying each and every one of us, one day at a time. And so the program that everybody's adopted is really God's program. He is the eternal present. He is the eternal now. And so the most important element in using this gift of wisdom is to take it one day at a time. Well, after that experience in the Shenandoah Valley, I realized one thing. Since this is the beginning of creation for me today, you know what that means? I've got two choices. You have two choices. Just as the first Adam had a choice and the first Eve had a choice, so do you and I. You know, people today say the world is in a mess. There's all kinds of problems. There's all kinds of evil on the streets. You know, we forget there was evil in paradise. The devil was there. And Adam made a choice. So did Eve. And then in the fullness of time, Christ came. And Christ is called the second Adam. And Mary is called the second Eve. And so you and I have a choice. As male and female, individuals, how do we want to live today? Whatever day this is that you're watching it. I have the choice today as I'm making this production to say I can live like the first Adam and be proud, or I can live like the second Adam, Christ, and be a man of service, a minister to people, someone who loves my neighbor. I can be the kind of person that I really deep down want to be. But I have the choice to be like the first Adam or the second Adam. And every female in the world has got the same choice to be like the first Eve or the second Eve. And I think that's why the Bible puts it so very beautifully. Do you not know that you are a new creation? Not just the day of your birth, but today is the new creation. And I think that if you and I would go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me to do the right thing for myself today. Help me to make the right choice. We would end the day with a lot more peace. And there'd be fewer bones that we would bury in the cemeteries of yesterday. So, using this gift, what are the elements that I would like to explain or expound on? Basically, five. We've got to be reborn. Now, you know, that's a catchy phrase today. People will come up to you and say, are you reborn? They've said it to me, and I've always said, yes, I was baptized. Because in the Bible, in St. John chapter 3, when Nicodemus asked him, when Christ, how do I be saved? Christ said, You have to be reborn again of water and the Holy Spirit. And he said, do I go back into my mother's womb? And he said, no. Water and the Holy Spirit. So I was reborn. But what do people mean today when they walk up to you and you're a baptized person and say, are you reborn? What they really mean is, have you revitalized the life of God that's in you, that came to you in baptism when you were made a child of God? Have you made it come anew again? Have you made it fresh? Have you made it real today? And so in a sense, every one of us should say to ourselves, am I reborn today? The very fact that I had an experience 5 years ago or 10 years ago doesn't mean that that rebirth is going to last unless I take it one day at a time. So I have my choice today. Do I want to be reborn today? My answer is yes. And what does that mean? To do the right thing for myself, it means that I will recognize God, that I'll recognize the fact that I am His child, that I have to recognize the fact that I have a purpose in this life, and that I must renew myself today in how I deal with people, how I deal with you, how I deal with myself. I must try to be a little bit more honest, a little bit more loving, a little bit more generous, a little bit more thoughtful, a little bit more forgiving. All the things that I really would like to be today, I start working on if I want to be reborn. And I want to be reborn today. Whether I was yesterday or not, I really don't worry about it. Or whether I will be tomorrow, I might not be alive. But today I have in my hands. And I want to be reborn today in how I deal with everybody, no matter who they are. And the most important thing I can give my people and I can give you, if I want to do the right thing for myself, is I've got to say it. I love you. Because when I say that, I make myself rich. You know, do you remember when President Kennedy was killed? The world cried. I happened to be coming out of Oklahoma City. I just finished air traffic control indoctrination school the day he was killed. And of all the things that were written about his life, one man put it in the best possible perspective. He was not a Christian. The man was a Jew, a gossip columnist on the West Coast. He still writes for the San Francisco Chronicle. His name is Herb Cain. And this is what he wrote. And remember, everybody was crying. Catholics, Protestants, Jews, agnostics, communists, everyone. Democrats, Republicans. But Herb Cain said this. The real tragedy of Kennedy's death is not the fact that he died. All men must die. The real tragedy of Kennedy's death is not the fact that he was shot. Many men are shot. The real tragedy of Kennedy's death is that he didn't know he was loved so much by so many. And isn't that the real tragedy of our own personal lives? So if we're going to do the right thing for ourselves today, if we're going to use the gift of wisdom for ourselves today, then tell someone you love them, but don't wait until they're dead to give them the flowers they can't smell, to give them the prayers that they can't hear. Don't wait until they roll down the center aisle in a casket to say, I loved him. Say it now. Reach out to someone and say, I love you, and you will do the right thing for yourself. It's nice to come back. You know, there's something very friendly about the camera. I'm not afraid of it. You're not here in this studio, but you are here. And as I look into the lens, you know what I see? I see someone sitting in a living room, someone all alone, someone looking for companionship, someone who's maybe had a very difficult day. I see miniatures of everyone here. And I think that of all the wonderful creations of man, this is one of the greatest, where it gives me the opportunity to come into your home, to your room, to sit down and share with you some of the thoughts that I have had, and to share with you the love that God has shown to me. I consider myself one of the richest men in the world. And I really thank God that a woman like Mother Angelica made this kind of network possible. You know, we were talking about the gift of wisdom to do the right thing at the right time to the right person. If ever you want to read about a person who lived with that gift of wisdom on a daily basis, you'd have to get a hold of the life of Mother Angelica. There's a book out, but read it. Because she is a lady who believes in the work of the Holy Spirit and trusts in Him so deeply that it scares people around her. She trusts in the Holy Spirit. And she knows that no matter what goes down in her life, the pleasant things, the painful things, that somehow it's the right thing at the right time and it will be done for the right person. We're talking about how you and I can do the right thing for ourselves. First of all, be reborn every day. Don't make it a program and make other people feel embarrassed. Don't make it a weapon, but say to yourself, am I reborn today? The way I deal with my wife, the way I deal with my husband, the way I deal with my people, the way I deal with the stranger. To be reborn every day means that we ask the Holy Spirit, help me today to be what you and I know I can be today. And we're not perfect. I can wake up and say Mass and do my thing and say my prayers, but I'm human and I forget. One man reminded me of how important it is that to be reborn is a daily process. It isn't something that happened. It's not static. The guy was a drunk. His name was Danny the Drunk in New York City. And somehow he got an attraction to me. He would come into St. John's on 31st Street, and the only one he would talk to would be Canise. Well, most of the time I'd go down and spend time with him and talk with him. But there's one day I got a call that Danny the Drunk wanted to see me. And I was living in a building three flights up across the yard, and the call came at the wrong time. I got irritated, typical redhead, a little bit angry, and I said, of all times, I don't want to talk to this guy. I was getting ready to go back to Guam to give a parish renewal, so I was not in a good mood. And I fireballed down the stairs, across the yard, into the office, grab a hold of Danny the Drunk. This guy's unshaven, he's dirty, old clothes, sleeps in the streets of New York. And I pulled him into a room and I said, sit down, Danny. And I reached into my pocket. I took out 35, 40 cents and slapped it on the table. I said, there you are, Danny. Buy yourself a drink. And Danny the Drunk stood up, he looked me in the eye and he said, Father, I don't need that. All I want from you, Father, is tell me I'm your brother. I felt about that big, but he was 100% correct. And so I put my arms around that smelly, unshaven drunk, and I kissed him on the neck. And I said, yes, Danny, you are my brother, and I love you. And then he took the 35 cents. But you see, the point I'm making is that we have to work on this, to do the right thing every day. We've got to be reborn every day. The fact that I was baptized 56 years ago, the fact that I was ordained 34 years ago, that was then. I have today. My ordination is today. My rebirth is today. My baptism is today. My life with the Holy Spirit is only today. And so, to be reborn, use it in the right way, only for yourself. And if you are reborn in a very nice way, you will then help others to be reborn. You will be reaching out and touching their lives because of your rebirth. Now, there's another aspect. We talk about the gift of wisdom as something we use for ourselves. And it's this. Refocus your emotions. Refocus your emotions every day. What are your strongest emotions? I think I can tell you what mine are. And there's a very strange way I came across this, I was thinking about talking about sin, which I seldom do. The seven capital sins, everybody knows them. They make movies about them. Pride, anger, gluttony, envy, sloth, greed, lust. Those are very powerful emotions. But as I was thinking about those seven capital sins, I realized something. The flip side of the seven capital sins are seven powerful, positive forces in my life. And I have the choice today to be the first Adam or the second Adam, to choose the good side of the coin or the bad side of the coin. And so if I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, help me to do the right thing for myself today, I take the good side of the coin. Let's take pride. Pride can be wrong, but pride can be beautiful. To be proud of the right things. Be proud of the right persons. Like, for example, I'm proud of where I was born. I'm proud of my red hair, which is gradually going out. I think more people should be redheads. I'm proud of the fact that I'm a Capuchin. I'm proud that I'm a priest. I'm proud that I'm an American. I'm proud that I came from New York. But you know what I would like you to be proud of today? Be proud of where you were born, what your race is. Be proud of your religion. Never apologize for where you came from. I was raised in Hell's Kitchen, New York. I'm not ashamed of that. Because one of the most beautiful women that ever walked this earth raised me there. Edwina Cartmell, my mother. I'm proud of her. I'm proud of my faith. I'm proud of the Pope, because that's who I am. I would want you to be proud of whatever your religious backgrounds are. If you're a Jew, be proud of it. In other words, what I'm saying, be proud of the right things, and you will be a more mature, a more complete man, and a more complete woman. Never apologize for who you are, because that's the way God made you. And what he wants you to be and how he takes you is as you are. You can be a better person. Sure you can. So can I. But at this moment, I'm happy and I'm proud. I wish I were better, but I can work on it today if I let the Holy Spirit operate within me. What I'm saying is be proud of the right things. And you know what taught me that? Again, people teach me more than anything I've ever read. On Guam, we used to scrounge a lot of materials. And I met a man who used to help us out. He found out that I used to preach. So he came over to our church in Guam, and he would take a tape recorder. He'd tape record part of the sermon, part of the music, and afterwards come over for breakfast. About 4 years later, I go to his house in Hawaii. I walk into his house, and one of these beautiful houses on the leeward side, the Kailua side, they call it, from the bedroom, from the pool, from every part of that entire house, there was a wall of black lava rock. And in the center of that black lava rock was a statue of the Blessed Mother. So we sat down at the bar, and in those days I was drinking, we had Irish coffee. And he says to me, "Father, did you know I was a Jew?" And I said, "No." "Well, why did you go to Mass?" He said, "Father, I'm married to a Catholic. And whenever I'm away from my wife, I always go to a Catholic Mass, tape record some of the sermons, some of the music, and I send the tape with some of my words to her to let her know I'm with her in spirit." And then I said, "Well, why the statue?" And he gave me a beautiful answer. He said, "Father, she is the most beautiful Jewess of them all." He was proud of the right things in his life. So, to be reborn means we have to refocus our emotions as well. And starting with the powerful emotion of pride, refocus that emotion. Be proud of the right things in your life. Now, just before we close this segment, I'd like to take a few moments and have a quiet prayer with you. We all need this moment of silence, and it's a prayer of renew. Lord, we are your people, the sheep of your flock. Heal the sheep who are wounded. Touch the sheep who are in pain. Clean the sheep who are soiled. Warm the lambs who are cold. Help us to know the Father's love through Jesus the Shepherd and through the Spirit. Help us to lift up that love and show it all over this land. Help us to build love on justice and justice on love. Help us to believe mightily, hope joyfully, love divinely. Renew us that we may help renew the face of the earth. Holy Spirit, help us to use your seven gifts, especially the gift of wisdom, so that we do the right thing at the right time to the right person, whether that person is God, our neighbor, or ourselves. My dear friends, I love you. Hallelujah.